came to play.
I came to play, there's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.
Came to
say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back, watch your future fade.
Everybody, what's happening? Good Monday to you. What's going on? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I hope you're having a great evening. I hope you're having a great Monday. I hope your day got off to a great start. Hopefully it's going to be a great week for you. Great week for me as I celebrate my 40th birthday at the end of the month. End of the month, end of the week, that's what I'm trying to say. But I guess it is the end of the month, too. Looking forward to that. Hope you guys are all doing well. We got a great show tonight. It's always fun times to have our friend Katie, a.k.a. Miss Metaverse, come on the show tonight and talk a little bit with us about future food, the things going on in the futuristic world. She also had quite a scandal of her own that happened over the past couple of months. We'll talk to her about that. And, of course, finally, we can finish our conversation with the one and only Chef Kyle Schutte about his new pop-up called Revision out in L.A. The food just looks out of control. You can find some of the stuff on Revision_LA on Instagram. A lot of good-looking food over there, man. The way Kyle does food is pretty insane. He's an intense guy, but he's a drink and he's good. A couple shots of tequila, he's a fun guy to hang out with. Don't worry. He's good. His food's phenomenal, too. It should be a great show tonight, man. Looking forward to talking to these guys. I love talking to Katie. She's great. And, of course, Kyle's another good one, too. Probably going to do some changes coming up with this program moving forward. I think I'm probably going to get off this god-awful Blog Talk Radio. I've about had it. Every time I turn around, there's some technical glitch or something going wrong with it now. And what I found out is the more listeners you have live, things start to screw up. And this show's on the up and up and growing. So it's really annoying, man. You try to do a show and everything fucks up on you all the time. Come on, are you kidding me? Like, the whole point of doing this is that you can do it live. So we're not just podcasting. Everybody does that. We want to be live. That's the fun part of doing it, right? But if you're not going to let me do that, you're going to make everything mess up and break up and not allow for people to actually listen live, then why the fuck am I doing this, you know? It's annoying, man. It drives me crazy. But anyway, all that aside, I'll stop my bitching, because it really does. It drives me absolutely fucking crazy. Nonetheless, guys, it's going to be a fun show tonight. I'm looking forward to it. But something's in the news a lot these days, especially, I guess, the past week it's really come up. An internal memo in the Department of Labor came up talking all about the restaurant business, which is kind of crazy. They are going to try to do away with pooling tips. Is that a lot of loud P sound? Pooling of tips. And try to do away with do more checking on us as restaurant people on how much we take the allotted breaks we're supposed to take and work the hours we're supposed to work and getting paid the proper overtime we're supposed to get paid. And I read this, and actually I was listening to it, and I couldn't help but laugh. I'll tell you what, honestly, back in my day, we had to walk uphill three ways. I don't know what we know, but honestly, I would work. Fuck, I remember working a 90-hour work week once, which is just crazy talk. I slept. It was insane. I lived in a Motel 6. It was at a hotel in Florida, but that's what we do, man. That's just what you do, and it's fine. That's part of the business. That's how you grow. I smoked cigarettes for the most part so I could get a break at work. And obviously you get addicted to them, whatever. But who are you going to sue, the industry? I mean, I was a smoker because it was okay for me to say, Chef, I'm going to run smoke a quick cigarette. But if I said, Chef, can I take a five-minute break? He'd look at you like you have four heads. I need to take a fucking break. What are you talking about? What do you mean you take a break? Which was tough because if your chef's not taking a break, why the fuck do you think you can take a break? You know? That's the funny part, man. I mean, it's something I think drives some people nuts that work with me that I'll just go and won't even think twice about it. You just keep moving and you're moving and you're moving and you move and you go and you go and you go. Next thing you know, you've been doing this for, fucking 12 hours straight. And you're like, oh, yeah, shit, I guess I should probably eat some food. That's what I do, at least. Maybe it's not everybody, but it's definitely what I would do. I've seen people working with me doing pop-up dinners who, you know, it's a pop-up dinner day is a long day because we prep everything that day of. And usually we get in the kitchen about 7 and, you know, we'll have 50 people coming into the restaurant or coming into the dinner by about 7 o'clock at night. You know, so I'm trying to be, my goal is to always be ready to rock and roll. Mise en place done. Everything's done from scratch. I mean, the tables are set. Everything's ready to rock and roll by 6:30, 6 o'clock. And I'll go all day long. I won't even realize it. And you know, I would have guys who work with me and go, "Chef, we need to, can we order a pizza or something?" I'm like, "What? Yeah, I guess I should probably get some food, huh?" Just the story of the business, man. That's the business of the, in my brain. I know it's changing these days. I know it's definitely taking a turn. I don't know if it's for the better, but it's definitely taking a turn. I think the younger folks in the business are going to force that. The younger folks are going to force that issue because they, you know, they just, you know, I get it. I do get it. I understand. I think it's a good thing to do because the business is changing so much. But I also think that, you know, working those hours and working your butt off on there, while it's tough and it's hard, it does also, you know, create a little ownership of it. It does create that work ethic, that mentality in your brain. And I think having that created in your brain really kind of helps build you into a chef, builds you into what you may become. For me, having that work ethic of working my ass off, it played a giant role into being the person I am today, the chef that I am today. You know, it just did because you understand what's expected. You understand what you need to get done. I mean, you have to get the job done. And as a private chef like I am, when you work by yourself a lot, I mean, you have to work till you get done. I mean, that's all it is to it. In the summertime, man, I'm working probably 12, 13-hour days on a regular. That's what you do. I'm not bitching about it. I'm not complaining about it. It's the life that we chose. It's just, you know, and I'm happy doing it. I love it. But I think you start to see, and as I approach that 40 number in age for myself coming up here very, very shortly, I have started to notice that certain parts of my body are, I don't want to use the term breaking down, but getting weaker. You know, things like my knees, my lower back's a mess. You know, I'm having an ankle issue these days, which is crazy. But I think it just comes from, you know, just all the standing, all the walking, all the moving around constantly for years and years, and almost, I mean, damn near 25 years of doing this stuff. It's funny, man. I mean, you think about it. There's guys who have been doing this now. Even myself, I was talking about myself and said, you know, I started working in a kitchen in a restaurant business when I was 15 years old. Now, I wasn't working 70 hours a week or whatever at 15 years old. That's when I started, and it's kind of all I've been doing. And I remember working throughout high school in a kitchen, and, you know, I would get out of school. I would have my play practice or you know, whatever after-school activity I had at the time, and then I'd go to work till 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, whatever it was. And that was generally 5 days a week. That's what I did. And, you know, it's just you learn that ethic. You learn that if you want something, you got to work for it. I think when you start getting into, I'm not shitting on anybody who doesn't have to do that, too. Let me just rephrase that. I'm not coming at anyone saying that if you don't have to work those hours, that you're not going to be a chef. You don't know what you're talking about. You got to, you know, that's the old school mentality in my brain that wants to come out and say that. That's not at all what I'm talking about. It just comes from, you know, I guess it just helps build the work ethic. I don't know how else to do it, I guess is my thing. So I don't know how it would work. I don't have any idea of how else to do this. I know how to do it my way. And that's the only way I've ever known. Since I said, like I was 15 years old, like I said, that's all I've ever known is how to do this, the way that I do it. And it's gotten me this far. So why would I stop? So Labor Commission, come at me. That's how I'm looking at it. But it's interesting. I want to get another take on it, too. And we can ask Chef Kyle when I bring him on here in a minute what his opinion on that is, too. Because it's interesting because I know Kyle, you know, while we're close to the same age, he's a little younger than I am, but still been the business doing his thing from a running of a business, like a running of a restaurant standpoint. You know, how does that affect it? You know, if Labor Department comes at you, because listen, we all know, you know, the claiming of tips and all that stuff, man, it's just a whole nother. If you've waited tables at all ever in your life, the claiming of tips is just, I mean, it's kind of a fucking joke. Let's be honest. That's what it is. So I want to get Kyle on here. You guys, we had Kyle on last week and then we had all those technical difficulties. And then I told Kyle, we got to finish talking about this pop-up dinner, man. The food looks amazing. He sent me pictures of what this stuff looks like. His takes on things are pretty amazing. I highly recommend you check it out. You can find it at @revision_LA on Instagram. One of my favorite chefs in the country. Sweetheart of a guy. He's like a tender little teddy bear, Chef Kyle Schutte. Brother, what's going on? How are you? Good evening.
What's up, chef? How you doing?
I was all one breath. I haven't taken a breath in 10 minutes.
It was impressive, let me tell you.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm coming off a really crazy couple of weeks. I got a pretty slow week this week as we get ready to celebrate my 40th birthday on Sunday at a casino, so it should be a
Oof.
lot of fun. Yeah, you and me both. That sound you made is the one I make every morning right now. I'm going, oh God, really? 40? Jesus. Oof. But I apologize again, man, for the I don't know what the fuck is going on with this damn fucking website that I used to do this, and I think that I'm looking to move on from it, I think, at this point. But
You know, I
not
get
gonna
it, but we're chefs, so we get dealt a shitty hand all the time, and we just let it, you know, we do our best, and we move on to the next service. So let's make the most of what we got.
That's a good way to look at it, right? That's a good way to look at it. They know I'm pissed, though. I used to see some scathing emails, and I said I actually ended up calling their finance department, and I said I need someone on the phone right now. I'm done emailing. They're like, well, we don't have a
Yeah, I
customer service
remember last
department.
week you couldn't get anybody on the phone because they were on vacation or it was a holiday or some shit.
Well, and then I couldn't find a customer service number, so I ended up calling their finance department. And I said, they were like, it was like people who want to invest in the company, and
Right.
I said, listen, I got to get somebody on the phone here because this is ridiculous. I've been doing this for almost damn near 5 years on this fucking application. We have big guests on and things a lot of fun and it gets a lot of listeners. And so it turns out, this is what they said to me. I said, I don't care if you find the president of the company. I need someone to fucking talk to right now. And they have given me to some customer service person. And basically they're like, well, and this is how, I'm not sure if they're stroking my ego or what. They were like, so you apparently the time frame that you're doing your show, you have a lot of listeners and that can kind of affect the stream sometimes. And I went, well, wait a minute. So would you want to fix that? Or like, isn't that a good thing? Don't you want that?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. They
Right.
were like, well,
So
we're
listen,
trying to
this
fix this.
platform is really only built for radio hosts that no one listens to.
Right. That's exactly what they said. Apparently, we are the number one food show on the platform, apparently, which is interesting.
That's
So I guess
awesome.
that if you keep doing it, you keep doing it. All that aside, enough about me being badass, because I am badass. But not more badass than the food that you're making, man. You sent me some pictures of this. I saw some postings. You're trying to hire some cooks and some servers, man. Talk about revision. Talk about the
Yeah.
story here, because this is going on like it's not a one-time thing. This is going on ongoing sort of scenario, right?
Yeah, it's a pop-up series that we're gonna do, and I would love to move it into a brick and mortar or take it to other cities, but you know, it's starting here in LA and we're gonna see how it goes. But yeah, it's a multiple week thing right now, and we'll keep adding weeks, but it's really truly about starting somewhere and constantly tweaking and looking at what we're doing and seeing how we can get better, how the food can get better, how the dining experience can get better, and really having a honest conversation with our guests rather than a forced conversation, which is, I think, what you get at a lot of restaurants.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, a forced conversation. I like the way you said that. That's a really good way to put it, man. Hey, what do you think about this labor stuff? Like coming at it from a pop-up standpoint, For me, like when I do a pop-up dinner, my things never last as long as yours. Mine are usually one night, two night, and then, I just pay guys cash or whatever, and whatever, it's under the table, who cares? But something like you're doing,
Right.
are you concerned about that? Do you have these guys fill out like a 1099, or what do you do?
Yeah, all of my cooks are 1099, which I think is not even by the books here in California. But you know what? Like at some point, we're just all hustlers trying to better ourselves and better our craft, and it's hard. And if they want to come after me, you know, there's nothing to come after. Let's just put it like that. Like, you know, it's just, what are you gonna do to me? So I'm gonna hustle my ass off, and you know, it's always better to ask for forgiveness than, you know, ask for permission. So that's how I look at it. And let me
Yeah, I
tell
think
you,
you're
like,
probably
that's
right
part of
about
the
that.
great thing about doing a pop-up. A pop-up versus like the brick and mortar restaurant, which I just came out of opening the first of my own.
Right.
That's a nightmare. This is very freeing. So, and you know, like I could spend 2 hours on this subject with you because it's just such a part of my life, and I have such big opinions on it. But here in LA, there are literally lawyer firms who will go up to a person that they think is probably in the food service industry and say, hey, are you a cook? And they'll say, yes. And they say, have you ever missed a break? Why, yes, I have. Were you paid double your time? No. Okay, let's sue. And they will get to get that person will get some of their coworkers and they'll sue the restaurant. And those workers may get $1,000 and the law firm is taking away hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there's law firms in LA that's how they make a living. And, you know, I will tell you, like, as a restaurant owner and operator, I did my best every day to make sure that my people clocked in on time, clocked out on time, took their breaks on time, you know, were paid the right amount and all of that stuff. But when you have here in California, it's just law after law after law after law, just stacked on top of each other. There is almost no way to get through a day without one of your employees missing their break by a minute or 10 minutes or whatever. And it's just like you get into the middle of a rush. You're not concerned about breaks. You're concerned about the people in your dining room, right? And so at some point, like, there has to be a balance. Here in California, there's no balance. I think some people would argue that other places, there's no balance in favor of restaurants. But, you know, I'm like you. I'm old school, and I love it. I loved it as a cook. Like, my first restaurant gig, I went in there. I asked for minimum wage because I just wanted to get in there and learn. They told me my schedule was going to be 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 4 p.m., whatever it was. And every day, 30 minutes before I was supposed to clock out, my chef would come up to me and be like, hey, you want to work dinner service? And of course, every time I said yes. There was not one time I said no. There was not one time I said, oh, I have a softball game or I want to play in my band or any of this shit. No, I was there to cook. So all I did was fucking want to cook and want to get more reps. And
I would work. Reps.
Yeah, like anybody that has anybody from sports or band or anything knows the more you practice, the better you get. The more you practice, the better you get. And I was hungry, man. I was hungry. And so I would work from 8 a.m. to midnight, 5 or 6 days a week. And I would get my check, and there would be no overtime on that thing. And I wouldn't bitch. I just went to work. I did my job. I didn't get my overtime. I just didn't care. I just wanted to work. I worked so much that summer that I would cash my paycheck and put that money in a shoebox. And then at like the end of the summer, my mom opens the shoebox and it's got like 10 G's in it. She's like, what the fuck is all this money from? She thought I was like selling drugs or something. I was like, no, I just doing nothing but working and I've got no time to spend the money. And you know what? It was just like, it was about pride and loving what I did. And dude, for us guys that came up like that with like tunnel vision on something and having a goal and having pride in working hard, which I think just doesn't fucking exist anymore, to have to hear about breaks and not only breaks, but like having to like wrap your schedule around your cooks wanting to go to fucking Coachella or wanting to play their intramural basketball or wanting to continue the dream of being a rock star. Like get the fuck out of my kitchen. Honestly, like I don't understand when it became so hard to get a crew of 10 people who all just want to grow up to be a cook, but I can't find it. And it's so easy to come after restaurants and anything that has so many moving parts, especially like any industry where your customer is sitting right in front of you. You know, we're not in an office. Our customer is not down the road somewhere that we're never going to have to interact with. They're right in front of us. Their needs are our needs. There's no middleman. And so
on the good side too, that's also the immediate gratification you get from it, which is part of the good side. A lot of, you know, you'll find a lot of cooks, especially from our generation of cooks, that, you know, listen, I said it on this show many times, and I did a whole season where it was kind of the underlying tone of it. I mean, we're a broken band of pirates. We're the Lost Boys. We're the group of people that nobody wanted. That's what our generation of cooks are. We came into this business. I didn't ask to be in it. Just kind of the way it went. you know, and now we had a generation of people who came up who wanted to be cooks, who wanted to be kitchen people, who wanted to go to culinary school and be chefs. And I think now you're starting to see it kind of come back. It's making its way back towards, you know, more of that, you know, broken band of pirates sort of thing, because people realize that you're not going to graduate culinary school and then go right to being executive chef and making 150 grand a year. It's not going to, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that.
Dude, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. That's not what I'm seeing out here at all. But, that's it. I just want to.
I'm definitely seeing it out here a little bit. I mean, definitely. I've had
that's people awesome.
Contact me in the past month who were like, hey, can we just come work with you? You know, just come work with you.
I mean, right.
Like what I'm saying, I don't need to be paid. Just want to come work at an event with you and see how you're doing things, which is pretty cool. I don't know anything else about him. You know, I never talked to him. You know, I'll talk to him eventually, but I never made an effort to like set up an interview and all that shit. You know, but
right,
it's what you got to do. I mean, that's how you get into it. That's how you learn. And you know, but it's not always bad.
Yeah.
I mean, when we talk about this, sometimes you and I make it sound like it's all doom and gloom. It's not. I mean, listen, with your dining, with your pop up revision, man. The food is far from doom and gloom. It looks absolutely stunning, man. Those pictures you sent me are gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really meant to be fun, you know, and we plate with intention and it's all good over here.
Well, are you seeing it? Like it's selling out pretty much on the regular, right?
We continue to open spots and there's still seats available throughout. These pop-ups, they don't tend to sell out. They don't tend to really start picking up sales until a week before, but we have seats left on all of them. And I'm just ready to get some asses in those seats and feed them. And if people have dietary restrictions, even though, dude, I'm in the dining room. Basically these kitchens are in the dining room. So you walk in and I shake your hand. I welcome you to the pop-up. We sit down. A lot of people want to talk to me about the menu or the food or fucking chit chat about whatever beforehand. I'll spend time at the table talking to them because they're there for me. I'm there for them. It's time to cook. I cook. I introduce the plate. I explain the intention behind it. Very short winded, believe it or not. And then I go back to the kitchen. If somebody has a question, if somebody has a question, they just blurt it out and I answer it for the group. And then afterwards they want to hang out. They're welcome to hang out and talk and shoot the shit and have a glass of wine. And if not, then they're free to leave. And it's just this really great thing where it's kind of this blurred line between the dining room and the kitchen. I mean, there are literally people that get up out of their seat and walk where I'm cooking and start taking pictures, or I'm trying to plate and I'm very focused and like systematic in the kitchen, and they'll be asking me questions while I'm trying to plate, and I put on a smile and we talk about the food, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a good reminder of who is getting this at the end of the day and what excites them. And we're in a really exciting time in food right now where the guests care about who's cooking the food as much as where the food comes from.
That's a good way to look at it, man. You're absolutely right. Now, listen, so with this, do you include wine, or is it bring your own, or how does that work?
So this one, I paired with a wine shop here in LA who does they curate the wine list based on the menu, and the menu's changing all the time. And so it's $75 a person for the food, and then it's an optional $45 wine pairing. I think that when we talked about pairing, like teaming up together and then doing the wine pairing, because like let's be honest, like I can tell people how the wine should taste, which is basically what I did for the first round of pop-ups I did a couple years ago. It's like, oh yeah, well you want a dry sparkling thingamabob here, but I don't really know wine, so pairing with these people I thought would bring an extra value to the pop-up. And they were all for it. And then when I handed them the first menu and said, okay, these five courses are all based on desserts, they looked at me cross-eyed like, maybe we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. But they came around, they got really excited. And I think like, it's just going to be really fun. But yeah, all five courses, the first menu are based on desserts. And it's going to, you know, we call it Eat Your Dessert. And it goes from red velvet to carrot cake, to churros, to pumpkin pie, and then we finish with a new kind of take on a banana split. But the first four are super savory, and it's so much fun, dude. Yeah, the first four are savory. On the pork, which is inspired by a churro, I made this sauce, which I'm calling Chipotle de Leche, which is like chipotle mounted with onion and garlic, and then finished with dulce de leche, and it's like the perfect balance of sweet and spicy and savory. Dude, it's so much fun. I just love doing these things where like the shackles are off. Like I said, like when you're in a restaurant as a chef, the conversation is usually forced either by the chef or by the clientele, but it's rarely an honest conversation. So either the chef says, I don't give a shit what any of you say, this is the conversation we're having, or a chef is forced into a situation where the clientele and the ownership say, we don't really care what you have to say, this is the story we want to hear, and it's a forced conversation. But revision is really this thing where I'm saying like, okay guys, here's the story I'd like to tell, you give me feedback, and then tomorrow maybe the story will be a little bit different. And it's just like this going to be this ongoing, revolving, evolving thing. It's going to be really beautiful, I think.
Well, man, it sounds like an amazing evening, and you can check it out at, of course, on Instagram at revision_LA. Of course, Kyle's a phenomenal chef. His food looks amazing. And if you think about it, you can get wines with that, too. It's like $125 or something like that. I'm doing my math too quickly in my head. 45 and 75, is that right? $115?
Yeah, right? Something like that. Yeah. And you know what? Like, it's really meant to be a fun, more accessible version of all these hyper-focused tasting restaurants that are popping up around LA,
right,
where you have to drop $500 to $1,000 for two people to eat there. That's great for those kind of people, but for people...
Two hours? How long do you get them in there?
We blast through it. I mean, like, the last pop-up I did was 8 courses. We were getting them in and out an hour and a half. It really depends on how fast the guests want to eat. When they're done with a course, they get the next course. If it's 10 minutes, great. If it's an hour, great. It's really on them. But it's a really great communal experience. Everybody's eating. Everybody's talking. And so, I'd say an hour and a half for all 5 courses. And then every meal, it's not even listed on the menu, but they end with a scoop of my signature mint ice cream, because it's just like a great palate cleanser to kind of like, you know, soothe you at the end of a meal like that. But oh man, it's going to be so much fun. I just can't wait to get it started.
Nothing makes me happier than when you're trying to soothe me.
Well, sometimes you need a lot of soothing. Yeah.
That's right. Hey man, so make sure you check it out, of course, and like I said, you can follow it on the Instagrams at revision_LA. You can also check out Chef Kyle Schutte on Instagram for some amazing, you can see this food pictures, I'm looking at them now, are just sick. They're ridiculous, dude. I like how you broke down what each thing tastes like. Looks amazing. If I was out there, I would definitely be there. But I'm getting a discounted ticket, man. I get half off. That's what I want. I'm just joking.
You come out here, and I'm gonna feed you free. You know that. There's no charge there. But yeah, if people get on, they get to see. Like I kind of took the photos that we had done professionally, and then I kind of like, you know, pointed out each individual component so they can actually see how these things are going to interact with each other. And I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks great. It does. It looks really cool, man. It's very exciting. And like I said, man, I think this is kind of your niche, man. It's what you like to do. This kind of food, kind of be able to change it. I can't imagine you in a brick and mortar ever again, man. I think you would kill yourself. I don't know. Like, it seems like, it feels like handcuffs being put on you or something. I could never imagine that.
Yeah. I hear you, you know, but there's something kind of romantic and then something kind of sad about being nomadic all the time. Like at some point you do want the place to plant your feet, but also like you want the place where you can do all your prep and have all your cooks come in and actual lockers. Like there is something really beautiful about owning your kitchen and walking in and knowing that the steel's been polished by your hands and that it's going to be there for you tomorrow. But for now, I'm very happy with the pop-up.
Well, good, man. You should be. It sounds exciting. So how long are you going to run it for?
You know, right now we have dates through the end of April, and as long as we're selling seats, I'll keep adding dates.
Wow, that's great, man, through the end of April. That's awesome. Well, awesome, dude. I'm excited for you. It sounds amazing. The food looks great. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it, and I'm sure you'll get some write-ups and stuff, because that tends to happen with you, doesn't it?
Yeah. We have some stuff about to come out already on Prohibited Magazine. LA Weekly is going to do something. I have some other stuff coming out on Eater. But, you know, people are excited by this food because it's fun and it's out of the box. And we take it seriously, but it doesn't take itself too seriously. So people really tend to get excited. Writers like to get excited. And also, like, it's fun to write about something a little bit quirky. So, but, you know, it's all, it may look quirky from the outside, but it's all, like, you know, harnessed by good technique and old school technique and new school technique. And it's just really all about, it's about being the best we can be. And so, yeah, I think people enjoy eating and enjoy writing about it. It should be all good.
Well, awesome, dude. I'm excited for you, man. I really am. You're a great cook. And you deserve the best you can get for it. So good times. And listen, I will definitely check in with you to see how it goes. And you got to give us an update here. We'll see what happens with it. Got to bring you back on a panel show.
Yeah, man.
On panel shows.
I love panel shows. They're the best. But if you know the road trip wants to come out to LA, I'm just saying, like, I can hook a brother up. I'm just saying, like, yeah, dude. I haven't seen any pop-ups.
Brother, I'll tell you what, that makes my heart just start jumping. You know how much I want to do that? Anyway, long story short, hey, you never know what's going to happen. How about that? You never know. You never know. It could be cool. You never know.
All right, well,
we'll see.
You got to see anytime you want. Just let me know.
My man. Hey, listen, Kyle, I appreciate it, man. Everybody, please make sure you check out at Chef Kyle Schutte on Instagram, and of course, at @revision_LA on Instagram. And you can definitely get tickets there. You can buy tickets online. What's the website to buy tickets at?
There is a, so you can go to revision.la. That's obviously the Revision website, and there's a link through there. Or you can just go to eatfeastly.com/revision.
Eat Feastly. I like that, man. That sounds awesome. Backslash revision. Well, cool, brother. Listen, I appreciate your time this evening, man. You should stay tuned. Keep listening in here, man. I tell you what, we got my friend Katie's coming on. She's a futurist. She comes on about once a year and talks about future food. She studies that shit. It's pretty crazy.
I'm excited to listen. I saw that earlier today, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a good listen.
See, listen, that's what I do. I surround myself with the most attractive people I can find, and tonight you were on that list. So I hope you feel special.
Anybody next to you, Chef Plum, is going to be pretty attractive, let me tell you.
There he is. All right, brother, man. I'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right, there he goes. One only Chef Kyle Schutte. Great guy, man. You can't find him too much better than that guy right there. We appreciate him coming on and wishing the best with his new pop-up series out in L.A., Revision. Make sure you check that out. I was trying to decide if I'm going to play a song, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'll play a quick song so I can get my drink set and get my headphones fixed because they're messing up on me a little bit. Let's do that, and then we'll come right back here and we'll talk a little bit about future food and some other crazy bullshit that's happened. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, Smoke Signals, Carrier Pigeons, wherever else you find your podcast or your live radio programs. And hey, if you got 2 seconds, you're checking us out on Apple. Do me a favor, please rate, review, and subscribe if you want. It's for free. But those ratings play a big role in everything, and we really, really appreciate it. So please, if you can, I'm supposed to push that more because we need to get more of those. So please, throw us a rating in there. You don't have to comment. Just give us a 5-star. We'd really appreciate it. You check out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back, guys. Stay right there.
I keep a photograph of you upon my wall. The beach in winter on the island says it all. Oh, 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 those days were gold. Oh, 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 we didn't know. We stole your father's car, you didn't know how to drive. Touched down on the edge of town, we made it out alive. Setting sun. Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said, morning. I'm staring at the stars. The only lights connecting me to where you are. Oh, 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 where have you gone? Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said,
I was looking to see if I could get the X-Files theme uploaded in time. That would have been really cool. I have nothing close to it, though. God, that would have been dope. If I had the X-Files theme to come on when I bring Katie on? No, I don't know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. Once a year, at least, we always check in for the future of food and what's changing in the world of food, as well as other fun futuristic things with our good friend, the one and only Miss Metaverse. She's got her hand on that pulse to find out what's going on with the future of food, the future of the world, and what's happening. Are we freezing heads still? Are we putting heads on robots? What's going on next? Well, we're going to find out right now with my good friend, Miss Metaverse. Katie, what's happening? How are you, my friend?
Hey, how's it going? Happy to be back again. 2018, we are here.
I know, right? I think this is the third time or fourth time you've done this show with me.
Oh, it's got to be like the fourth. I think we did our first one back in like 2014.
Yeah, maybe it must be. I don't know. It's a cool concept. And when I found out all the stuff you were into and what you did, I was like, holy shit, this would be a great conversation about food. So, and I do want to get into that. But first, I mean, I have to because, you know, of course, you disappeared off the planet for a little bit there. And I was like, what is she doing? She's not posting anything. I don't see her anywhere. What's going on with her? You want to give the 10-cent rundown?
Oh yeah, it's been an interesting journey, you know. So I was on a hiatus for probably a good year, maybe a little bit longer than that. And this was a big deal because before this happened, I was really on social media. I mean, 24/7, and I built my brand. A lot of like my work on this metaverse, everything was focused on social media. And so I went from posting multiple times a day, always online, always putting myself out there and doing interviews and stuff like that. And then I caught the attention of, let's just say, a group of conspiracy theorists. And for some reason, they made this connection that I apparently was in the Illuminati or something like that. And it's really bizarre, but yep. And it's that.
You know, I wanted to ask you what your favorite sauce was for your sacrificed chicken. I was going to ask you that. I'm kidding.
Seriously. I'm kidding. Well, you know, the thing is, it's when it comes to topics like transhumanism and evolving humanity through machines and artificial intelligence, these things freak people out. And I understand that to an extent, but there's a great deal of paranoia going on right now with people who are just not informed and not in touch with the reality of technology and where we're at and what people's dreams or goals are with these types of technologies versus the fantasy of it and the paranoia and the fear surrounding it. So that's you know, caused a great deal of misery for people like myself who end up being targeted by these groups that you know, have these fantasies in their head that there's something nefarious about these things. So that's what happened to me is that
it's the dumbest shit ever. Like, here's what I don't understand. Like, I know you personally. You're a super sweetheart of a person. You're a very nice person. You're a very intelligent person. You know, and if anybody had actually taken the time to say, hey, maybe we should ask her, maybe we should talk to her, why don't we reach out? You absolutely would have answered them and talked to them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so this is what happened in a nutshell. So I went from posting all the time, doing my Miss Metaverse thing, and it was strange because one day I woke up and my YouTube channel was just being attacked, and I was receiving all these hate comments on my first YouTube channel. And next thing you know, I had videos being taken down. I lost tens, 100,000 views. I lost a lot because of this. And I wasn't understanding what was happening, but the comments were saying things like, you know, you're a Satanist, or you're the daughter of this guy. And I didn't understand like who this guy was or what was happening. And then finally,
well, it brings up a great question,
you know,
to be honest with you. It brings up a great question for me. I always wondered how you hid the horns on your head when you did your videos. I knew you had those demon horns. What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out myself. Yeah, so
you should have gone with it. Random gimmick. Yep. Like, yes, I am an evil demon. I will come to your house and destroy you. That would have been the best.
You know, the thing is that I guess in a way, like, I'm the first person, a first transhumanist, you would say, that has, I have a face and a name. And for the most part, like, people in the actual transhumanist community don't really put themselves out there like I do. And there's a lot of ways that people kind of like misinterpret this stuff. And obviously, you know, this group that found me, they made this connection because of a startup I was working with called Humai. And Humai,
right,
their goal, this startup's goal, was to bring people back from the dead using emerging technologies. But this is like a concept. This is something that is more of like a project, an organization who was having the goal of being able to do that in the future. But anyway,
well, you know,
my last name, my married name.
Time out. You know what the problem is here? And there's two things. Number one, we were trying to bring people back from the dead a long time ago. Remember, the Ted Williams head still frozen somewhere, right? And then I think the same thing that happened to, remember that girl who was, I guess it was probably 2 or 3 years ago now. She was hunting like game, or she had a picture where she killed a giraffe with a bow. She was hunting like in Africa. Do you remember this? And the internet like fucking went nuts over it, right? And they went nuts because it was a lot of just, you know, like, you know, fucking stay-at-home mom type people. I'm not trying to label people or anything, but it's what it was. And here you have, you know, she was a reasonably pretty attractive girl, and you know, she's out there and taking pictures with a zebra where, you know, people already don't like her because they think she's privileged or whatever it is. And here she is sitting beside a zebra. You know, it's probably kind of along the same things just because of how she looks. They think, you know, like, why is she doing that? She shouldn't be doing that. She's a terrible person. You know, before they even know her, which I'm guessing is probably similar to what happened to you.
Right. The hate is real. It really is.
Stupid. But more importantly.
Yep.
You're back. You're gonna keep pushing forward. Now we're gonna embrace those haters. They start fucking with you again, you tag me, I'll whip the shit out of them. I will lambaste these. I'll bring them on here and talk to them. That'll be even more fun.
Damn straight. Actually, you know, I've been kind of trying to reach out to these guys and start a dialogue, but the worst part about it is the several times I've tried reaching out to these people, specifically one who made a video about me, he blocked
right.
me, and it's like, come
you
on,
know why?
If you think that I am, yeah. Why?
I can explain to you why. Are you ready? There's two reasons why. Number one,
sure.
Because they're giant fat dudes in their mom's basement. And, oh my God, this is real life conflict. I can't handle it. And then number two, oh shit, a pretty girl's talking to me. What the fuck do I do? I shut down. That's why. They're little fucking bitches. So there you go. You're making the chef me come out getting pissed. See?
Yeah. No, the guy who. Yeah, he's the guy who made the video about me. Is like a rapper from Denver, and he's like a flat earther. And I guess I don't know if he like came up with the conspiracy about me, or if he just heard it from somebody else or something. But you know, I tried reaching out to him, and yeah, he just blocked me on Facebook immediately. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, I mean, if you want to take down the New World Order, like, you could start by actually talking to somebody who you think is in it and is trying to extend the olive branch to you. So, I don't know. It's crazy.
Do you
want to
tell me his name, and I'll find him, and I'll send him a direct message and tell him you're casting spells on him right now on a radio show?
Okay, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll live stream it.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Well, look, all that bullshit aside, because there's nothing but bullshit. Don't let the fucking people get you down. People are dumb. No matter what happens, if you're getting hate, means you're doing something right. Hate's not always a bad thing. It's just the way it goes. Listen, I've done a couple of infomercials, and they get posted online, and people just go to town destroying you on them. And whatever, it's fine. That's what you do, man. So if you're getting that attention, you know, there's the old saying that there's no bad PR, and I do believe in that to a degree. But you're back. You're doing your thing. My first question for you, before we get into the food part and all that stuff, you've used this word with me a couple of times, transhumanist. What does that mean?
Transhumanism is a community that's based on, or it's more of a movement, actually, that's focused on the overall goal of using emerging technologies to be able to evolve humanity into what are known as post-humans or transhumans. So
like a cyborg,
this could
or no?
include like we're yes, like we were talking about, you know, before on another one of our podcasts we did about being able to upload your mind into robot body, or you know, it could be more things like cyborgization, things like that. But yeah, so it's got a real like taboo thing surrounding it because people are afraid of what could happen when you upload yourself to a robot, or if you become a robot, and you know, it's the whole religious thing and everything like that. So, but yeah, there's a very large movement of people who believe in it. And I think that, you know, the people who are in the community see it from a science perspective, being able to help people, you know, stepping outside of the limits of our human bodies. So it's very interesting. And a lot of sci-fi shows are coming out about these themes now.
I mean, technology has been saving people for years now, man, hundreds of years. Like, I mean, there was a time where if you got the measles, you were dead. If you had the fucking flu, you might as well, your shit's done. You're dead. Now, I mean, shit, you, in my job, you better not even miss work for that shit. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it's not the same kind of technology you're thinking about putting, you know, robotic parts on a body, but it's the same thing. Technology has been saving people for years, but yet no one gets mad about that.
Right. I think that the access to information that we have today is both a blessing and a curse. I think in one way, people are able to find more niche groups that they align with. But also in another way, I think that people kind of form their own bubbles or their echo chambers. And that's where we see things like this happen, where they're misinformed, they're out of touch with what's really going on. Instead, they create this fantasy of transhumanism and the fears surrounding it. So it happens, but that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I just started a new YouTube channel. You can find the YouTube channel by visiting my Twitter or Instagram. And this new channel is dedicated to bridging the gap between the public and also the real futurist and transhumanist communities.
You know, it's funny because some of these people who hate that sort of stuff are the same people who think, no, I'll put one of every animal on a boat and put them in the water. Get the fuck out of here. Sorry.
Yeah. It's, you know, to each their own.
I guess. But, and so I think that's kind of cool, man. I mean, do you think there's any concern though? Let's say they can actually pull this off and this happens in the next, you know, 50 years or whatever, like that actually becomes a thing where we can prolong people. Don't we have too many people on the planet as it is, or is that not something that you guys would subscribe to?
No, I think that once we can overcome the limits of our biological bodies, I think that's going to open up so many more doors. And the one thing that I'm most excited about is the potential to go off-world colonies. I mean, I'm ready for it. Send me to Mars in my robot body, ready to go.
Now, robot body. Now, there's a couple things like I still love and enjoy from an organic standpoint as far as bodies go. And I know where you're thinking, but that's not where I'm going. I'm just talking more about I'm talking more about like eating food, having a cocktail, those sort of things. Like, do you think in our robot bodies we'll still be able to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, why not? I think that the best part is that you'll be able to choose the types of experiences that you want, you know, or what you need. And, you know, things like that could be heightened. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there who could benefit from these type of technologies. Maybe they could be able to eat foods that they cannot now because of allergies and things like that. I think there's a lot of limitations with the human body that maybe we'd be able to overcome with these things in the future. But on the other hand, there's also a lot of people who I find don't want to eat at all. They're like, they wish they couldn't eat. And that blows my mind. People who buy into things like that powder called Soylent or something, where you can just have a meal based off powder. Could they name it any more properly?
Yeah, that's awful. I love to eat. Like, eating to me is a very communal thing. I think it's one of the most human things we could do. Like, it brings people together. It's such a food's a very, very powerful thing. Like, you can sit down and have a meal and really get to know somebody. And when you go on a first date, what do? You go out to eat. When someone dies, what do? We all eat. That's what we do.
Right.
I hope we never do away with that. Like, I would never want that option.
No.
Like, it's such an emotional thing. So I'm hoping when I get my new robot body, I'll still want to eat food. Now, let me ask you this. In my new body, I'm going to get my new robot body. Will I be super strong?
You could be super strong. I mean, another thing too is you could eat and not have to worry about gaining the weight. So you could have the experience, like the pleasure of the food, but not have to worry about cholesterol or, you know, the things we have to now. I mean, now I'm in my early 30s and I'm already feeling the effects of food, processed food and things like that. I actually just went on started a new keto diet just recently because just trying to bring more balance in, you know, because had a little bit too much fun for the last couple of years and now I got to be good for a little bit. So everything in balance.
Yeah, that's the God's honest truth. You're telling me I was at the gym and I made the mistake of stepping on the scale and it's ruined me. I haven't eaten since. And that was 10 days ago.
Seriously.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting my new robot body. Now, is there going to be a catalog or something that comes out? I'm kidding. I actually think that we should be able to get fat. Like, I think you should have a robot body. And like, if you do eat the wrong foods, it does get fat a little bit. Cause if not, we're all going to look beautiful. And then if we all look beautiful, none of us are.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, you should really check out that new series on Netflix called Altered Carbon. It's got a very interesting spin on the future of human bodies, and they call them sleeves. And in this sci-fi world, you can just go out and buy a new sleeve, buy a new lab-grown human body that looks like whoever, whatever you want, and then it's like just a perfect thing, and you upload your consciousness into it. Use something called, it's like a stack. So it's like the idea is that you have this chip where the chip has your consciousness on it and your consciousness is in the cloud, but it's like stored or it's accessed through the chip. So if you want to be in a new body, you put the stack in a new sleeve, and very interesting. I think you'd like it. You know, it's a crazy show, but I think it's very fascinating.
Now, let me ask you this. Could I upload my consciousness to a female body? Because if I could, I'd probably never leave the house. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, they never address that shit in these things.
Yes, you could. I mean, I think that's something a lot of people actually talk about. It's like, what would it be like to be the opposite sex? And, you know, so I think that when that day does come, there will be a lot of curious people trying it.
All right. I'm going to put my creepy side away now. It's come out way too many times in this conversation already. But I think the last time we had one, you were the creepy person. So it wasn't just me.
Creepy to real.
That's right. Creeping it real. That's what's up right there. So I saw recently these videos of these robot arms, like in a kitchen, cooking food. I don't know how I really feel about that. Cooking is such a it's such a love-based thing for me. Like, yes, I understand I can program a robot with a recipe to cook the food, but you know, not all food is grown the exact same. And maybe you're supposed to season these carrots with technically a teaspoon of salt, but when you taste them, it might need more. Have you seen these things?
Yeah, so that's actually a company that's called Moly Robotics. It's a London-based robotics company. And what it is, it's called the world's first robotic kitchen. Yeah, it's a prototype that came out in like 2014. And what it is, it's like a robotic chef. It's got these two large robot arms. And the point of it is that it mimics the motions of a chef. So, you know, this is going to be one example of like many ways that robots and AI are going to be taking our jobs in a way, but it's more about just changing the future of work rather than replacing humans altogether. And that's the big point is that, you know, for you being a chef, you could see something like this and go, oh, it's never going to replace me. And it's not. The difference is that this is a great example, actually, because this Moly kitchen, it's actually a robotic kitchen that you order. It's not just a robot arm. So when it comes, this kitchen itself comes with the robot arms. And the way it works is interesting. It's a kitchen system, but the robot arms and the system is designed to mimic a chef. So what they did was they had this MasterChef winner from the BBC MasterChef. His name is Tim Anderson. And he came down to the company and they recorded his actions into the system. So every motion, everything that he did making these meals was recorded by the robotic kitchen system so that when people purchase this kitchen system, it'll be like a robot version of that chef is in the kitchen doing it for them, which is very interesting. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I guess you still got to, like, program them, though. And I guess, like, you know, when I think about it and I listen to it and I hear how you just described it, which actually was more description than I think I've gotten from anything else, I don't know, man. Like, right, I guess I just go back to what my analogy there in the front was, where it's like, you know, maybe the recipe says these carrots need a teaspoon of salt, but, you know, maybe when they, in the soil that they were growing in, their salinity is not as much, so you know, maybe a little bit more than that, but the recipe doesn't say that. And in no way a robot could tell that because it can't taste, you know? And I don't know, like a chef, I would taste it like, oh, it needs more salt, you know?
Yeah.
I look at it like this. When I'm tasting food, I always say to it, it's almost a joke when I'm working with food or doing a dinner or doing a private gig. And you know, I take a bite out of something and it's almost like straight up from the line from Iron Man. I'm from the Avengers. I take a bite and I'm like, all right, tell me everything. You know, tell me about yourself. Tell me about it. I can taste so much. I can tell so much just from tasting it. It's almost like getting the info through the computer of my mouth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think a really good example of this, too, is have you heard about the robot bar that's in Vegas?
Yes, I have, actually. I have. Yeah, it sounds dope. Actually, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called the Tipsy Robot, and I think it's a good example of how the future of robotics and humans co-working together might be like. So the way it works is it's called the Tipsy Robot. It's just off the Vegas Strip. And so you walk into this bar and there's these like big robotic arms, just like we were talking about. And these robots, they produce up to 120 drinks per hour. And each cocktail only takes 60 to 90 seconds to make. And what's great about it is that, you know, people go down there and they have these, you know, they think it's just going to be like a robot bartender and it's more like the experience, not quality. But the people actually say that the drinks are pretty awesome, you know, that they make strong drinks and it's at affordable prices. But the thing is, it's a robot bar. You're not going to get conversation. You're not going to get that side of the bar experience from the robots, but that's where the humans come in. So it kind of gives the humans the ability to, you know, be more a part of the real service of the experience. So, you know, you could talk to them, they assist you with, you know, ordering for the robot. And I think humans and robots are going to work together. I think that it's going to change in a way, for sure. But I think that you know, things like this, like the Tipsy Robot Bar and stuff like that. It's just early examples of where we're going to be heading in the future.
That's so crazy. So instead of hiring a bartender, we're going to hire like a, almost like a bar keep, a bar, I don't know, someone who's going to work our bar just to talk to people and be like, oh, you should try this drink. And they're going to, I'm sure they'll name the robot Sam or something crazy like that. Hey, Sam, make them one of these, you know? I don't know. What's that movie?
Yeah.
Is it Total Recall when he's at the bar and the robot bartender's like, would you like some more? Would you like some more? That's all I can keep picturing.
Oh, I can't remember. Probably. I'm overdue to rewatch Total Recall. I think I'm going to have to do that now.
Oh, hell yeah. Total Recall is the shit, dog. That's what's up. We live in a world now just full of content. You know what I mean? It's true.
Yeah.
It's just content everywhere. Everyone does content. And in the past 8 months, I was telling you on the phone this afternoon, you know, coming from the world that I work in and you know, my particular, I host a television show and all that stuff, it's completely changing because everybody now is a content creator almost. And I mean, granted, there's different levels of it, but I mean, you're seeing more and more things change when it comes down to what we use as entertainment, because we all have these little, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7-inch televisions in our pockets now that we can all do to watch content on, which, by the way, is what most of it's watched on. The world's changing when it comes to that. I mean, it's one of those things that I don't know if any of us could have ever predicted, but how do you see that changing? Is that going to become more and more what it's like, or are we going to see that more integrated with things like net neutrality and how we're all getting those things on our televisions now? Because people still pay, and God knows why. There's still 42% of our country that pays, you know, over $100 a month for cable, which for the life of me, I'll never understand why that happens. And the interesting part, though, was 8 months ago, it was 18% of our country did not pay for cable. Now it's more than half that doesn't anymore.
Yeah, I think a great example is YouTube. I mean, about maybe a year or maybe 2 years ago at most, the thought of putting time into YouTube or being a YouTuber was really not a real choice. I mean, there was people who were successful at it, but people really didn't get it. But now it's like, you know, I could even talk to my friend's parents and none of them watch cable television anymore. And they were the most, you know, they're notorious for watching cable news and cable television programs and everything. And
sure.
Now it's everyone's on YouTube. But the thing is, it's these technologies and this content creation craze is all about connecting personalities. It's people,
right.
It's humanizing the technology. And I think that that's a really good point, is that YouTube became YouTube because people like watching people. They like connecting with other people like them. It's like watching a friend. You know, if you watch H3H3, which is a channel I love, they are awesome, you know, comedy stuff. But if you watch a channel like that, or even if you watch PewDiePie or any YouTuber, it's like you're watching them because you connect with their personality. You feel like you're a friend in the room with them. And when you're watching reality TV and things like that, I mean, my background was in reality TV. I worked in reality TV and film. And the whole difference is that, you know, scripted, it became too predictable and it became dated over time. People don't like it anymore. They want to connect with real people and real content and, you know, go behind the camera, like feel that they're in the room with that person. So it's just going to get better as technology keeps on coming out. It's going to be easier for people to create content, and it's just going to keep on growing. So it's still a good time to get in and start getting on social media, no matter what business you're in. It's a really good time to start now. So and just take baby steps.
Yeah, I think you're seeing more and more things happen where it's almost like mainstream media is starting to kind of accept it more now. I mean, the big announcement that came out last week is with Amazon and Amazon Prime, and Amazon has their own, you know, their own, you know, digital network now, the digital stuff that they're doing. They have their own series and whatnot. Well, CBS just signed on to stream live through Amazon as part of their digital package. And that's a really big game changer for a lot of people. And I know it sounds so mundane to say that now, but you watch. That's a game changer. That's a big fucking deal to have one of the biggest, you know, conglomerates in the country sign on and basically acknowledge and say, yes, this is a real thing.
Absolutely. It's still in the early days too. That's what a lot of people, you know, don't realize is that it's really things are just getting started. So it really is going to be interesting
fast,
to see how things evolve. Yeah. Definitely.
It moves so fast now. It really does. It moves so freaking fast now. It's crazy. And we live in the world where everyone's a content creator now, and it's not hard to do because we all have great cameras on our phones, and you know, even guys who shoot with these amazing 4K cameras. I think even the new iPhones are now 4K, aren't they?
I'm not sure if the new iPhones are. I think so. I know it's 1080p, but even with that, I mean, that's what most like SLRs have,
right?
You know, it's all 1080p, and you know, nowadays I could shoot something on my phone that looks just as good as my, you know, Canon cameras, and it's, you know, it's hard because to have like the big cameras like that and walking around like Casey Neistat does, it's just not practical. So, you're just seeing more of these cameras come out that are smaller, just shooting on your phone. And, you know, the biggest thing is the time, you know, yes, we do have access to more of it, but when it comes down to it, you know, to put the actual time in, you get a lot of benefits just by doing it, but not a lot of people still understand the benefit of putting out the content all day long. Like, you know, bring people into your world. Like, what did you have for lunch today? Take a picture of your meeting, give updates on your business, you know, put it on Instagram stories, Facebook stories, do Facebook Live. You know, there's a lot of things that people don't understand, but those who do understand it, kick ass. And that's the thing. It's if you know how to get into it and you can just take baby steps and you just get used to it, you'll do more and more. And as you do that, you really do get benefits from doing it, no matter what industry you're in. So I'm a huge advocate for that. And it's actually, you know, a great deal of my work is what I do is I work with other professionals, other futurists, and help manage and create content for their platforms too, because you know, when you're traveling the world and speaking and doing your thing, it's hard to, you know, take a moment and remember to snap a picture or something and put it on social media. So that's my job. Is I'm the stickler saying, keep getting the content, more content, you know, because it does. It's a huge help.
It makes a giant difference. I'm terrible about it. I'm trying to get better at it. And as a matter of fact, I did my first Facebook Live. This is the amazing part, and then we'll move on here. I did my first Facebook Live video on Saturday night, and as opposed to doing another app that I usually mess with, I came down and did Facebook Live, and I mean, we had 1,000 people. It was crazy. It was insane. I had
no idea.
Like, and we came on, I went on for like an hour and a half, and I was just sitting here. I was calling it shift drinks. I had finished work. I was having a beer, and we had like 1,000 people. It was crazy.
The worst part is, the worst part of it is getting started, because you have the anxiety and you're thinking, you know, what am I going to talk about? What will I do? I don't have anything to talk about. You know, what could I do? But if you just do it, like just do it, just get started, put yourself out there. It just becomes easier. It really does. You catch on so quickly with this stuff, and you know, it's a great way to build your business and just keep expanding your influence for sure.
Now, if I told you that I didn't and I wasn't nervous at all, you probably would be very surprised, right?
Yeah, I would be. I mean, I know I get nervous when I try something new like that. I mean,
I don't get nervous. You know that.
No, that's a good thing. But, you know, you're kind of used to it too. Like, you've been doing the TV thing for a while, and so you're natural. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think, man? Top three things, Katie, what do you think? Like, this year, like, what do you think of the top three things, you know, that we're going to see technologically or from a futurist standpoint this year that we're going to see that we're all going to be like, wow, that's badass. Like, I feel like every year something comes out that we're like, oh, shit, that's a thing? That's awesome, you know? I feel like that every year something like that happens. And I think that the Elon Musk thing back in, was it January, was pretty freaking badass. But there's got to be more. What else is coming out?
I have to say, you know, there's three things that I personally want to see. And one of those would be pertaining to content creation. And that's drones, like follow drones, you know, better follow drones that could help record video and pictures and everything like that. There are
now,
some follow drones. They do have them now, but there was a couple of them that I was really looking forward to that just haven't come to fruition yet. You know, like the smaller ones, ones you can actually put in your pocket and throw it up and then have it fly around you and everything like that, you know. But
I know,
if you
I know
have
on my
like
TV
a,
show, we have a drone on my TV show that we use that actually can be set as almost, it's like tripod mode, or we can have it like follow mode where it'll follow me. I mean, but then again, the drone that I'm talking about here, this thing is like $3,000. It's not like, you know, some.
Yeah, exactly.
It's expensive, and it has a badass camera on it. And in order to fly it for commercial, like to make it for our show, we have to have a commercial pilot. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a DJI, the Mavic drone. I think the new one's called the Air, I believe. I don't remember what the latest one is, but I
like
definitely want to get
like
one
a,
myself.
It's like a step up. It's like a step up from those.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, that's something I hope to see personally, but I think we're going to be seeing more. Hopefully we're going to see some kind of breakthroughs with autonomous cars, you know, flying cars. There's been a lot of talk about that also. I think that we're going to see more chatbots, AIs coming out, and it's going to be exciting for sure. I'm looking forward to it. But the thing is, I have to say, for the last year, there really hasn't been something that has made me go, wow, you know, that wow, we're
really
in the future type of technology. But I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. I know that the company Magic Leap, they're coming out with their augmented reality glasses.
Right.
There's, you know, AR and VR were, you know, really hot topics for a couple of years, like I'd say between 2014, 2015, but then like I'd say like the last like year or two, it kind of like tapered off. But I have a
like
feeling that
TVs.
Like big things are in the works right now. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of talk about the iPhone 10. People thought that the iPhone X was gonna come out with like crazy augmented reality and all this stuff. And you know, it does have some features. I mean, like the Animojis and whatnot, but it just wasn't like what we thought it was gonna be. Like we thought this was gonna be revolutionary. So maybe it's not happening now. Maybe that will be in September. We'll have to wait and see. But as far as I could see now, you know, I don't know of any big, huge announcements coming down the pipeline like that for sure. But my future self is thinking that there is going to be some kick-ass breakthroughs coming up probably around end of the summer through the end of the year. I think big things are going to come to fruition.
Something big comes out, we got to have you back on the show to talk about it. You can be like, yeah, see, I told you. Hey, you know, one of the things I read about, which was dope, I started reading about it last year, and I kind of started keeping tabs on it. I'm not sure if they've done it yet, or it's coming up really, really soon. There was some guy, he's a paraplegic guy, and he went to Japan. Long story short, they're doing a head transfer from this gentleman. They're taking his head and putting it on another body. Have you seen that?
I know him. I mean, I haven't met him in person, but we've talked on Skype and I interviewed him. I know the man. That's Valery Spirindanov. That's his name. Val, for short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Val.
I want to talk to him.
Val's actually, he's a really cool dude. I bet you could have him on the show if you want to talk to him. I could connect you.
I would love to talk to the guys getting a head transplant. Are you fucking kidding me? That's awesome. it's happening soon, right? Like it's happening in the next couple months or something like that?
Well, I mean, that's something that's been kind of in the works. I guess that's a good development to talk about. So, yes, this planning has been going on for a couple of years now. The doctor that is a neuroscientist, his name is Dr. Sergio Canavero, and he developed this type of epoxy glue that they say helps resolve a big issue with the transplant, the head transplant,
with
which is really a body transplant.
Right?
Yes, because it fuses the spinal cord back together. So that was a big, huge development, and that opened the doorway for them to really consider doing this. So as far as I know that they did an experiment with a monkey, and it was a success, or then there was like a rabbit or something like that. And now I believe that the next step is that they're going to, apparently he has a partner in China, and the Chinese doctor did on a cadaver, they did the transplant, like as an example. So it wasn't a living person. It was just, they did a transplant, you know, with the process on a cadaver. So I think that they are gearing up for the surgery. So I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but they are aiming for this year. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But, you know,
Do you think mainstream media will pay attention to it?
Yes, they've been going crazy about the story. I mean, anytime that there's some kind of new thing that comes out, all the main tech publications will write about it. And of course, you know, most are skeptical. There's a lot of fear surrounding this. But
yeah, I mean,
you know, Val is not a stupid. He's not a stupid person. He knows what his risks are, and he's very clear that, you know, he wouldn't just sign up for something that, you know, unless it's been proven and tested, you know, first. And even with that, he understands his risk. But he says, he's like, listen, he's like, my body is withering away, and he has some kind of muscular dystrophy type of disease. It's like a regenerative disease where
he can't move.
Basically,
right?
He's like a head. He can use his arms, but he's a paraplegic. It's very sad, you know. So he said, he's like, I want to live a normal life. He's like, and when you talk to him, he's like a regular guy. He's actually really cool.
Yeah.
He's talented. He does animation and graphics and stuff like that. And, you know, he works a lot. He works from home, I believe.
But
hopefully things work out.
You know, why don't you be a guy in a wheelchair? If you can move your arms, I don't know. Maybe he can't move his arms as good as, I mean, I'm trying to think of what I read. I thought he couldn't move at all. But you're saying he can move his arms. Maybe he can't, like, maybe not as good. I don't know. Like, it seems like you're a guy in a wheelchair,
he
move
doesn't
your arms,
have,
so why would you be willing to risk your life, you know?
He's got very minimal. I mean, his body is like, it's really in bad shape, very bad shape. So, you know, he doesn't, as it is, I don't think he has a very long life expectancy unless there is some type of breakthrough. So I think that's his main reason for why he's doing this, because he's basically looking at it as this. It's like, either I'm going to die or I'm going to die trying. So he's like, I'd rather die in the name of science. You know,
you
and do this.
So, all
I will. I will definitely connect you with him. He's awesome, and he speaks good English. I connected with him because I was hosting this like monthly show, it's called the Future Now Show. I'm actually about to start doing it again very soon. I'm going to be recording tomorrow actually, and had him come on as
right
my
here.
Guest. Yeah. Yeah. I will. You should have him on. That'd be cool.
You should have me on yours, what I was saying, but never mind.
I'll have you. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that one's not mine. It's a buddy of mine, Felix, from the Club of Amsterdam. It's their monthly show for futurists. And I had him on because, you know, it was such an interesting topic. So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely talk to him. It'd be fun to talk about the future of food sometime. But I want to do my own podcast. You know, I'm looking into that now. I'm just going to get started with the YouTube channel first. But, you know, as things move along, I want to – yeah, that's the next step.
Well, listen, I could talk to you about this crazy shit all night long. I just could bring up – like, I read so much random shit. And then I don't like continue to research it. I'm like, oh, look at this. They're going to put a head of a rabbit on a dude. This would be amazing. And I'm like, all right, that was cool. Then I forget about it. And I talk to you and I'm like, holy shit. I remember they're trying to chop a guy's head off and put it on another body straight up fucking Frankenstein style. But it's awesome. And it's just so crazy that you know the guy.
Yeah. I mean,
the tricky part is how do I relate to the food?
Yeah, I know. I have like a whole list of like awesome, you know, future food stuff to talk about. So we'll have to do another show sometime to get into that.
Oh, absolutely. You have an open door. Listen, you do. You have friends. I'm your friend. You have an open door. Whatever you need. If you're getting bad comments, people fucking with you, you should tell me. I'm really good at handling trolls. It's fine.
Awesome.
Well, listen, I want to talk to you more, but my light here is saying we have 10 minutes and 3 seconds left. So I'm going to get you out of here, but I always appreciate checking in with the future of food with the one and only Miss Metaverse. I'm glad you're back on the scene. Don't disappear again, no matter what happens. It's too much fun. I mean, listen, you should be there. The world's better with you here. Trust me.
It's been great chatting with you, and thank you for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. And we can follow you on Instagram at Miss Metaverse, right?
I am across the internet at Miss Metaverse.
Dim internet. That's right. That's at Miss, MissMetaverse. Follow her there. Listen, I appreciate your time, and I will definitely text you because I want to talk to the guy, get his head chopped off.
Awesome. Will do.
I probably shouldn't say that to him, though. That doesn't sound good. Maybe not. I don't know. Well,
I'm sure he's heard it all before. Now, Val is a really cool guy, and he's very interesting to talk to you, so I'll definitely connect you.
Awesome. Hey, you're the best. All the best to you, and I look forward to chatting with you on down the road, all right?
Sounds great. All right.
All right, there she goes.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. There she goes. That's the one only Miss Metaverse. All about the future. Dude, are we going to get the guy who is getting his head chopped off on the show? How badass would that be? How do I make that about food? I have no idea. Listen, I appreciate you guys check out the show tonight. If you got 2 seconds, I highly, highly urge you, ask you, request of you as my friend, as my people who check the show out, please go to iTunes on the podcast section, on your podcast app on your phone, and throw the show a 5-star rating. It does huge things for us. We would really, really appreciate it as the show continues to grow. And I thank you all for your time and checking the program out, because your time is really important, and I understand that. And the fact that you spend a few minutes with us listening to this program means the world to me. So thank you very much for all your support. In the meantime, and in between time, oh, Mrs. Q, come on, try to play the music. Look at this. There it goes. In the meantime, in between time, my name is Chef Blum. Big shout out to the man on Kyle Schutte out in L.A. for checking, for coming on the show tonight. And, of course, Miss Metaverse giving us her take on the future. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Check out Restaurant Road Trip on Facebook. We'll see you next week. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.